Amen. Good message. I'd add a little bit to that prayer that the Lord would keep us from being another Solomon. That is so sad, isn't it? To think how wonderfully blessed Solomon was, and when he turned away from God, his heart went after the things of this world, the danger that awaits us. And you just read about what Solomon did. The Bible is clear. It tells us what happened. But we don't want to go that way. Don't want to go that way. I hope you'll remember everything that Brother Kenneth mentioned this morning, because I want to follow up with that on what happens if we don't. I've already given you a little thumbnail with Solomon, but I want to take another approach. I want to take an Old Testament passage that illustrates wonderfully to us the condition that we could be in by leaving off the Word. And I've turned to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, if you remember the prophet Elijah. And just for a moment, just think about, well, let me just begin. The thought that's on my mind to start with is the thought that, or the question that Elijah gave to the people of Israel when God told Elijah to tell Ahab to gather all Israel together. And they also gathered the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And they were going to have a test. But Elijah asked the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long? Okay? How long halt ye between two opinions? Now, before we get into the passage itself, I want to notice that this is not a singular warning in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, it goes all through. The Word of God is the life of the church. Amen. If we're reading that Word, if we're living that Word, if we're honoring that Word, the Spirit of God will be strong within us. And by the way, we are the church. So when those of the church gather together, then we have a greater presence of the Spirit of the Lord among us. But if we've left that off, we're missing something wonderful. How we need it for power in our life to avoid temptation, for understanding and wisdom to know what choices to make in life so that we can enjoy the blessing of the Lord with us. You see, in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 18, and in that general time frame, we had a time when the people of Israel had left off the true worship and honor of God and had gone after idols. Their lives were manifesting the fact that they were chasing after the things of this world and had neglected the worship, the true worship. And I want to emphasize that true worship. Not everything that's done in the name of worship is true worship. They were substituting other things in their life instead of making time for God. And they were to a place where the nation of Israel was in a terrible condition. And I want you to take that and just kind of overlay it on our day. On our day, our nation, we're not honoring God as a nation. The laws that are being passed are not honoring God. They're trying to do everything they can to get God out of it. Thus, my prayers in recent years have been stronger along the lines of praying for our leaders and praying that God would work in them and through them mightily for His glory and for the blessing of this nation. That's what we need, is leaders like what we heard Brother Kenneth read from Proverbs, those that would be looking to the Word of God and seeking wisdom from God and making wise choices that are godly choices, that we would have a wonderful place to live. Well, that wasn't happening in this day. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping other idols. They were doing things that were contrary to God. And so the prophet confronted them with the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? All right? If Baal be God, worship him. But if the Lord be God, worship him. The point is, how long halt ye between two opinions? You cannot do both.
Amen.
Now, Isaiah oftentimes said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can't do both. God's not going to play second fiddle. God is generous with his grace, but he's stingy with his glory. He's not going to give his glory to another. And he deserves our glory. I mean, when you stop and think about who our God is, and on this occasion, if we ever get around to it, here in 1 Kings 18, we'll find that God shows himself strong, doesn't he? Don't we wish that he would do that today? Oh, Lord, would you sometimes we think, Lord, would you just rain down some fire from heaven that folks would know that you're still there?
Amen.
Well, guess what? We know he's still there. What are we doing? How are we living? Are we serving the one true and living God? Or are we trying to divide our allegiance in this world? Are we? Think about it. How much time have we given the Lord in the past week? How much time have we given the world this past week? So, preacher, I got to work. Yeah, you do. But you can carry the Lord with you. You can carry him in your heart. You can carry him in your thoughts. You can carry him in your actions and your decisions, that folks that see, know what they're looking at, can see that you're making godly choices and godly wisdom. How long halt ye between... See, this is not just Old Testament. This is not just those folks that lived back then. This is a principle that's alive and well for us today, that we can learn from it and benefit from it. And that's the blessing from Scripture. Will we receive it? Will we live according to it and be blessed by it? Or are we going to be given to two opinions? Jesus said, and I'm going to give you some foundational verses here. I'm going to have to read a few of them because I don't have it all committed to memory. But just think it out. Now, the question was, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. You cannot. Now, the Lord said you can't do it. So don't tell me you can. He knows better than we do. He said you can't do it. Now, there's a lot of people that try, don't they? There's a lot of that going on. And even this people Israel in that day, you know, they would honor the Lord with their mouth, but they were serving Baal. It happens. It's one of the most prevalent errors in all the Bible. Going after other things than truly and sincerely worshiping God. No man can serve two masters. All right? Matthew 4:10, Jesus said to Peter, I'm sorry, Matthew 4, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, he says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only. That one word there is why I brought that verse in. And him only shalt thou serve. Him only. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Okay? Going back to the Old Testament, Joshua. Remember what Joshua had to say about that? If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, wait a minute, Joshua. Don't encourage them to serve somebody else other than the Lord. Well, if they're not going to serve the Lord, they might as well, because you can't serve both. That's the point. You can't do both. You end up not serving the Lord. All right? All right, there's more to that verse, but you understand the principle. So how about Samuel? What did Samuel have to say to Israel? 1 Samuel 7:3, and Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. You hear the wisdom from Samuel? Serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. I'm glad that's in there. Because, brethren, listen. God is a God of mercy. He's long-suffering. He knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. He made us. He knows what we're like. And his hand is stretched out still. If you'll hear his voice, if he's blessed you with a heart to hear it and understand it, even if someone has gone astray, if God has blessed you to hear it and have some conviction about it, it's not too late for you to turn things around. It's when you no longer hear it. It's when that famine comes into the land of the hearing of the word of God. It may not be that the word of God is not being preached. It may be that they're not hearing it. That happens down that path of going away from God. Our heart becomes gross and our ears don't hear, are dull of hearing. All right? So Samuel had something to say about it. How about Ezekiel? See, I'm going all through different places in the Bible to show us that this is something that's so common, and as we are, even today, we are so prone to this error. Ezekiel said this in Ezekiel 20:39. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols. Oh, this sounds strange, doesn't it? Serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me. He said, if you won't hearken to the word of God, then go serve your idols. But pollute ye my holy name no more. See what happens? If we're not serving the Lord only, if we're bringing a divided heart to worship, he says, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. And that's exactly the way they were in Ezekiel's day. And by the way, Ezekiel was sent to the children of Israel that had been carried away captive from Israel. You know, there were some like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the palace. But the bulk of the children of Israel were away from that palace. And Ezekiel was sent to preach to them. And when it came time for God's people, who had been told that you'd be going into captivity for 70 years and that you will return, there was a great deal of them who did not return. They liked where they were. They stayed over there in Babylon. But so Ezekiel told them, if you'll not hearken to my words, what did he say? Pollute ye not. Pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. It's so rampant. And even in the New Testament. And even sometimes the ministry. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke was still with Paul. It even can happen
to the ministry. Oh, how sad. It's sad when it happens to any of God's people. Well, how long?
So Elijah's question to Israel was, how long halt ye between two opinions? All right? Now, this passage in 1 Kings 18, it's a powerful and it's a wonderful Bible story. It's a wonderful passage. But we love the way that God manifested his power. We love the way that God showed himself strong. But let's don't miss the lesson. Don't just go away, you know, like one of the favorite Bible stories is Daniel in the lion's den. And wow, you know, children love how that Daniel was delivered from the lions. But don't miss the rest of the story. And here, when God rained down fire from heaven, when those others, when the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves had been going all day long and nothing, no answer from their God. Let's don't miss the lesson here. All right? So leading up to this, back in chapter 17, the Lord had done some wonderful things. By the way, there was a great drought in the land at this time. Okay? You'll need to go back and read chapter 17, 18, and 19. I don't have time to go through all of it this morning, but read that sometime. But there was a great drought in the land. Why? Why was there a great drought in the land? Because of the disobedience and the unfaithfulness of God's people. Look at it this way. They were missing out on God's favor and blessings. And things were getting dry. And when we don't feel the Lord's presence in our life, we get mighty dry. And we miss a lot of blessings. And in disobedience and unfaithfulness that was rampant in their day. And I've already kind of touched on a little bit of what we're talking about here. You see that they were missing out on God's favor and blessings. And it's God's will that he would bless us and bless us and bless us. Because you look at what he's already done for us. He's already given the very best that he had in sending his son to this world to save us eternally from our sins. What better blessing could we receive? Now, I don't expect the world who doesn't know God to thank him for that. But I do expect God's people to live in a way that shows their thanksgiving for what he has done for us. And I appreciate you being here on Sunday morning, but I want you to live it all week too. And I'm not there with you. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying that that's the exhortation here from this lesson, is that we live it every day. That's how we can enjoy it on Sunday, by living it every day. All right, so there was a great drought in the land. And if we didn't have the book of James, we wouldn't know how long the drought was. But James tells us it lasted 3.5 years. You know, it's getting kind of parched around here, isn't it? But it hadn't been 3.5 years. Can you imagine what kind of drought? The streams, the rivers were drying up. Well, back in 17, chapter 17, God had sent Elijah into the wilderness. Ahab was going to kill him. So he sent Elijah into the wilderness, and God commanded the ravens. He sent him to the brook Cherith, and he commanded the ravens to feed Elijah. That's power there. The ravens brought Elijah bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. I mean, listen. Elijah was doing fine. But the drought continued, and that brook eventually dried up.
And so the Lord told him where to go next. Go up to Zarephath, okay? Which in the New Testament is spoken of as Zidon, okay? And he said, when he told him to go to Zarephath, he said, I have commanded there a widow to sustain thee. I don't know what Elijah was thinking as he was going up there, but he knew the Lord said he was going up there to a widow that was going to sustain him. Maybe he thought a nice house. Maybe he thought a bountiful table. Maybe he thought a lot of things. But when he got there, they were gathering two sticks. She had a little bit of meal in the barrel and a little bit of oil in the cruse. And when she said she was going to bake a little cake for her and her son. And then they were going to die. I don't find any doubt in Elijah's mind about what the Lord told him to do. I mean, after all, he'd been living there with the ravens bringing him flesh and bread in the morning and in the evening. So he was already living a miracle during that time. But the Lord told him to go to that place and that widow, and she said she's about to bake a cake. They were going to eat it, and they were going to die. Elijah, I used to think that Elijah was mighty bold to tell her to bake him a cake first. But the Lord had already told him what he was going to do. He said, I'm going to send you to this widow, and she's going to sustain thee. And from what we find from Scripture, that went on for a year. That little bit of meal in the barrel, that little bit of oil in the cruse, they ate off of it. He said, bake me a cake first. She told him what she was about to do, but she said, nevertheless, she went and did it. And they all three. Now, at one point it says, and her house. So I don't know if it was more than just her son, but it was Elijah and the widow and her house that lived off of that for a year. A handful of meal. So obviously, every time they went and got the meal, there was more to be gotten. He didn't fill up the barrel. You know, in that way life is. Wouldn't we just, if we knew that we were going to have to live off that a year, we would be saying, Lord, fill up my barrel so I'll know that you're blessing me. But instead, he chooses to just leave a little bit there every time. So we have to keep a prayerful mind, keep looking to him, realizing that he's the one that's supplying it all the way, right? So all these things that happened just prior to Elijah coming before Israel. And that drought was tremendous. And he comes before them, tells Ahab to assemble the people. And let's see, where do we begin here? All right, they were assembled, the prophets of 400 prophets of Baal, 450 prophets of the groves. Verse 22. Then said Elijah, I'm in 1 Kings 18, begin verse 20. Let's go back and get verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet unto the Lord. Do you know why he was the only one left? The only prophet left? Because Jezebel had killed all the others. Well, she didn't kill all of them. Obadiah, okay, one of the servants of Ahab, who feared the Lord greatly from his youth, had hidden 100 of the Lord's prophets, 50 in a cave and 50 in another cave. And he had fed them with bread and water. So Jezebel didn't know about those.
But Jezebel had had all the other prophets of the Lord slain. So as far as those that were openly professing the word of the Lord, Elijah was the only one left. All right. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Look, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Sounds like a good test. Those 450 prophets, they can very quickly dress their bullock, and they can put things in order, and they can call upon their God. Elijah can take his time. All right? And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock. They did what he said. And called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. They leaped upon the altar. Now, I want you to see here. Elijah had said, "Why? How long halt ye between two opinions?" In other words, are we going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve Baal? You see, they were serving Baal. So the test is, well, call upon your God and see if he can do this. And so they did so from morning until noon, and they leaped. I mean, what a commotion they were making in calling upon their God, who, by the way, if they're serving that God, then that's the one they were looking to or depending upon, or they thought was providing whatever they had. If they're serving that God, then they must think that he can do something, that he can provide something, that there's some value or benefit from serving that God. And people today that are neglecting the Lord and going after the things of this world, I guess they're thinking the same thing, don't you? I guess they think that they can get some benefit, or there's some blessing in serving that instead of serving the true and living God, because there's plenty of neglect of the true and living God. Well, what happened? How richly did Baal reward his worshipers on that occasion? Nothing. You know why? Because Baal is nothing. Not able to do anything. Not able to provide anything. So what is it? It has to be the imagination of the thoughts and the hearts of men. Worshiping the God that they want instead of the God that he is. And there was no answer. No answer whatsoever. Now, why didn't Elijah do those kind of antics? He didn't have to, did he? But they were. I mean, listen, they're offering something to their God. That's their way of worship. I'll give you a few more verses here to kind of fill in this foundation. Worship. What is true worship? You see what the worshipers of Baal were doing. They were jumping around. They were calling upon their God. They were cutting. I'm not going to read all of this. They were cutting themselves. They were just doing anything they could, trying to get an answer from their God. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 4 that he that worshipeth God must worship him in spirit and in truth? Now, he didn't say spiritedly. You know, those men were getting in their spirit. in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, following the leadership of God's Spirit, worshiping in spirit and in truth. That word that you heard about a while ago, that word of truth, God's word, God's ways, holiness, righteousness, doing what's right in the sight of God. They that would worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. The first requirement of discipleship. Not worshiping the God that you want. Not worshiping in the way that you think is best. Not worshiping in the ways of the world. But bless your heart, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily, Luke says, and follow me. True worship in the Spirit and in truth. True worship is rewarded. True worship, and I'm not talking about just on Sunday morning. We're not talking about, this is the worship of the saints in the assembly. Bless your heart, anytime throughout the week that we're praying to God, that we're submitting to his word, that's a form of worship. Every time we obey his word, that's a form of worship, because we're saying, Lord, you're Lord, you're the God, you're God, I'm not. So many people want to be their own God and worship the God that they want, make their own way, lean to their own understanding. Okay? All right, you understand. James chapter 4, verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. What I want to get out of that verse, because I'm going to quote from Peter in just a second, pretty much the same principle. But James says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. See, we walk in his sight. He knows all about us. He looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. He's not limited to our actions and our words. He looks on the heart. And so James warns us, or tells us, humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. The Lord's pleased with what he sees in the heart. He's pleased with that. Now, Peter says much the same thing, but listen to the difference that he says. Peter said, 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Not just in the sight of the Lord, but under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yes, we fear the Lord in reverence, but we also realize he's a consuming fire. And so getting back to our passage here in 1 Kings chapter 18, after the false prophets, after they went all day, even to the time of the evening sacrifice, and Elijah began to mock them. Remember that? he said, verse 27, as they were leaping on the altar which was made, Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or perhaps he sleepeth and must be awaked. And it wouldn't matter how loud they cried. And it wouldn't matter how much. Baal is just the imagination of men. He is no god except in the minds of men. So Elijah finally, they cried louder. Verse 29, and it came to pass when midday was past and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Now he's not talking about those false prophets had lost their voice and they were so tired they couldn't speak. No. He's not talking about that. What he's saying here is there is nobody in heaven answering them. Even though there was 450 of them crying unto their God, there was none to answer, because he is no God.
And Elijah took 12 stones. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. It's interesting, he uses Jacob here. 12 tribes of Israel. You know, Jacob had a brother, didn't he? Esau. But Jacob was the one that was called. Jacob, in Jacob, in Israel, shall thy seed be. So he's making that distinction. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now I don't, if that was each measure, each measure there was, let's see, about 20 quarts, 2.5 gallons. But now, he said, as great as would contain 2 measures. So the 2 measures would be 5 gallons of water. So the trench that they made, I'm trying to help you with the visual here, how big the trench was. It would contain 5 gallons of water. I believe I'm right on that, because the reference here is to the measures. And so each of those was 2.5 gallons, I believe. So we're talking about a trench that would hold about 5 gallons of water. All right? Then he said, put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. They told him, do it a third time. Okay? And they did it. The water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. So not only is the sacrifice soaked, not only is the wood soaked, but the trench is full. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. I wonder why that was. That was according to the word of God. That was the time of day God told them, you offer this sacrifice. In other words, you're getting back to the word of God. Getting back to the instruction of God. Observing to do what God commanded. Then Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. It doesn't matter what Elijah thought, it's what God told him to do. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Did you hear that? God was going to show himself in such a mighty way, it was going to have an impact on those people that day. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones, all 12 of them, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now what would you have done on that occasion? After you had witnessed fire from heaven, when Elijah calls one time unto the one true and living God, and he answered with fire. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Now, when you've got something repeated in Scripture, that's for emphasis. They didn't just acknowledge that he was God. No, no, no. The Lord's the God. The Lord's the God. He's the one true and living God. And you know what happened after that? After he had proven that he is the one true and living God. Then prophet Elijah told them, now you slay these prophets. And I'm not going to take time to go through it, but it talks about how they took them down to the river and they slew all those prophets of Baal. The Lord, he is the God. God manifested his presence on that occasion. Don't we wish that he would do that today?
when they answered, and were they, I mean, what a marvelous display. What a marvelous test. What a marvelous proof that Baal is nothing and that God is able to do what he says. They turned back. Their hearts were turned back that day. Now they would eventually forget him again, but at least on that occasion, they remembered the Lord, the one true and living God. He is the God. As a matter of fact, on that occasion, they were able to do, I mean, they were willing to do whatever the Lord said on that occasion. And you know what happened after that? The drought was over. The rest of this language goes into how Elijah told Ahab to get down from the mountain. You know, there was an abundance of rain. It didn't come immediately. Elijah went up to the top of the mountain and told his servant, go look and see. Look for clouds. He went 7 times. I wonder if that servant thought, oh, now, you said there was going to be rain, and there's not even a cloud. But on the 7th time, remember it says it was a cloud about the size of a man's hand. In other words, if you hold up your hand to the sky, it would cover that cloud. But all of a sudden, the sky was dark, and the rain was falling. Brethren, the lesson here, if we turn back to God, he will once again rain his blessings down upon us. Now, this nation desperately needs to know this, doesn't it? I don't know if they'll ever get it. You know, what I'm concerned about is whether God's people get it. Whether we know and remember and live understanding with the wisdom that we heard about earlier, with the wisdom of knowing that when we're serving God like we should, God will bless us. Remember Elijah during the drought? God was feeding him even by ravens. Even when the brook dried up and he went to the widow of Zarephath, and her meal was about gone, the oil was about gone out of the cruse, and she thought she was about to die, God fed them for a year. God can supply our every need. He's not bound by the circumstances that we're facing. He can do what he pleases. Our job is to observe to do all that he's commanded us. If you feel like you're in a drought, then think about what's going on. And serve the Lord, understanding that the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. A definite article there. He is the God because he's the one true and living God. May God help us to remember that even in the midst of a drought, even in the midst of this nation being like it is, God will take care of his people. God is able to do it. He's been doing it for a long time. He does it a whole lot better than we could come up with. May God help us to remember to look to him and trust him as the one and serve him as the one true and living God. Well, how long halt ye between two opinions? You cannot serve two masters. The Lord, he is the God. May God bless you, Zachary. Amen.
Yours. We stand to sing 197.